There's been a rising number of measles cases in Australia this year amid a global resurgence of this highly contagious disease. And this week, a traveller diagnosed with the virus flew from Thailand to New Zealand through Sydney and Melbourne, exposing other passengers to infection. Now, we hear of these cases popping up from time to time. The Northern Territory has lowered the minimum age at which babies can be vaccinated to just 9 months as it attempts to curb an outbreak in Darwin. And Brisbane reported two cases just this week. And the focus is on the international visitors, with more than 200 cases of measles proving fatal in the Philippines this year and other reported outbreaks in Japan and the US. So with the new international runway opening here on the coast next year, what will the new direct pathway from Australia, Asia and the Western Pacific mean for a possible outbreak here on the coast? Dr. Sam Manger is president of the Australasian Society of Lifestyle Medicine and a local GP at Ochre Medical Centre in Mullaney. Dr. Manger, good morning. Great to have you here with us. How could a potentially higher number of international visitors, what could that actually mean for a measles outbreak potentially here on the coast?
Well, obviously, thanks for having me on. Obviously, with more exposure, and there are certain countries which don't have the good vaccination rates which we do in Australia, we're going to have more people potentially come in with measles. I mean, the big thing about measles is to get some stats first. I mean, it is probably our most infectious illness that we have, to the point that is infectious, by coughing, sneezing around anyone up. So someone could cough in a room with measles, and for 2 hours that room would still be infectious after that person has left the room.
Wow.
So, you know, it's very hard to catch if you've got people on a plane, if you've got people coming from lower vaccination rate countries. And the other major problem is that you are infective 4 days before the rash comes out, which is the classic measles rash, and at least a day before you get any other symptoms about, you know, the runny nose or sore eyes that come with the disease. So people don't know that they're infective until it's too late and, you know, they've got on a plane. Then you've got to trace now everyone who's been on that plane and where they are going from that point on. You can just extrapolate the numbers and see that there is a risk. I mean, we don't want to do fear-mongering, but we just have to look at the facts, and they are the facts.
The hinterland area is known as a bit of a hotspot for anti-vaccination. As a long-time doctor there, what would you like to see in the area in light of a higher number of visitors with the runway, potentially allowing for more of these visitors flowing directly into the coast? So what would you like to see happen?
Well, obviously, increasing vaccination rates would be a good thing, but I understand it is a really sensitive topic, and I have this conversation a lot with my patients, of which I'm more than happy to, and it can take a good hour or two to get through people's concerns and the understandings that they've come across, in particular on the internet and certain Facebook groups. And so respectfully, you know, we got to hear what people have their concerns about. But when you've been through, when you've seen what I've seen children die from measles with brain infections and complications, and that changes your perception from thinking it's just a little rash that people can get to realizing how serious it is. I mean, one in 1,000 people roughly die, and in malnourished areas or areas with poor healthcare, 1 in 10 people die from measles. So it's not a minor infection. It can be severe. And like I said, I've seen about 1 in 1,000 children who get it will get a brain infection. And I've seen children die from that.
So what kind of planning or discussions are being had in the AMA to plan, I guess, for potential more contact with visitors from these countries where there are measles outbreaks at the moment? Are there discussions happening here in Australia?
There are in various sectors. I'm not part of the AMA, so I can't really speak on their behalf, but there are in various sectors, the college, the hospital sector, the AMA, all discussing which measures would be appropriate, whether it would mean controlling or curtailing travel or making sure vaccination status or, you know, limiting school and daycare and things like that. I don't think any decisions to be made. These are all on the table as to how we deal with it. I mean, when we look at the EU, we had in 2016 5,000 cases of measles, and now because of the various concerns about vaccines, most of them unfounded, we have 80,000 cases of measles in 2018. So if we saw a situation like that in Australia, obviously there'd be an enormous number of health complications, but there would also be an enormous economic cost associated with it, and then that would be a really, really difficult thing to manage. So, it's something that I think we need to have at a community level. I think we need to have an open conversation about. And my experience has been for every 3 people who I see or who are not keen on vaccinating, probably 2 will end up vaccinating because once we've gone through their concerns and cleared any confusion about it, they're actually quite happy to do it. So most people who don't want a vaccine, it's actually just because they've read something that they aren't sure about, that they're afraid of, and that's fair enough because we all love our children. But when you actually clear that confusion, they're actually very happy to vaccinate. So that's the majority of people. And then there's always going to be some people who just won't vaccinate no matter what. And we can continue to work on that, but that's just the way it is.
So, Dr. Manger, what do we know about the effectiveness of the vaccine in terms of its coverage, how long that lasts for? Because we know that with whooping cough, for example, we're urged to get booster shots as adults, especially if we're going to have something to do with young babies, you know, a new baby in the family, or we might be becoming grandparents, etc. So what's the story with the measles vaccination? If you've had that earlier in life, are you supposed to get a booster, or what's the thinking there about how long that vaccination might give you protection for?
Well, we're actually really, the measles vaccine is probably one of, if not the most effective vaccines that we have. So the current schedule is that 12 and 18 month children get two vaccines. After one vaccine, they're about 95% covered. 95% of children are covered, and then after two, it's about 99%. And there are no boosters for the rest of life because it's unnecessary for the vast majority. There is a very small number of people who, with any vaccine, like I said, 99%, so one in 100 who it will not be covered. But once you've got enough people in the population covered, then the risk is exceptionally low that they're going to be exposed anyway in the first place. And then you're going to get a very, very, very small number of people who that resistance will wade over time. But there are no boosters, and there generally are no need for boosters unless people are going to, let's say, endemic areas of measles. They might have a booster, which is totally safe to do so.
And if you have had wild measles, as they call it, as a child, which many Australians, older Australians would have had, including myself, what kind of protection does having contact with the disease earlier in childhood give you for the rest of your life?
So your question is, how effective is the wild measles at causing immunity?
Yeah.
Look, it's also effective, but not as effective as the vaccine. So that, like any immunity, because immunity is a memory of the body's immune system, can wane with time. So if you're not constantly exposed, then it can fade like any other type of immunity. So it's not different in the sense. The principle of immunization is to expose you to a small particle of a virus in this situation, so that it triggers the immune system. So the principle is no different from getting it organically, as it were.
And what about the cost of treating people with measles? For instance, if we were to have a major outbreak here on the coast, do you think we could actually cope with that?
Well, I haven't seen economic figures, but we, one in four people roughly who get measles will need to be hospitalised for it, because like I said, there's pneumonia, ear infections, brain infections, a range of other problems associated with it. And so you can imagine every one in four hospital admissions cost thousands of dollars. If you get enough people, that adds up. There was a case of tetanus in America recently, and the cost of the admission was $1 million for that child to keep them alive, and they were not vaccinated. And so tetanus is a severe disorder, which obviously takes a long time to get better, but we can see that predictively the costs are going to go off. Quite a bit of people aren't vaccinated, and we get a big outbreak in it, and then obviously people need to attend hospital for that.